Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. How do you tell someone to fuck off? I mean, I've sat with this one. I'm just trying to be funny. But no, how do you do that? Because people who bury anger can't. And people who bury hurt or sadness sometimes do it too prematurely. So there's a lot of people just telling people to fuck off, but they don't really, it's not what they really mean or the real intention. So everybody's fucking off for no reason or for the reason of fear. Let me see if I can clarify that. Fucking off from fear. Well, if I repress anger, I can't tell you to fuck off. I'm afraid. Not only am I afraid to get angry, but I'm probably going to be afraid to set boundaries. And fuck off is a boundary. Or it can be. But if I repress hurt and sadness, or either one, I might tell you to fuck off a lot. If that's safer than the hurt or sadness. I might get angry, in other words. Fuck off. But that doesn't mean that I want you to fuck off. Because what if I have an anxious attachment with that? And then I just sabotage myself. Because I don't want you to leave. I just told you to fuck off. If I have an avoidant attachment, well, it depends on what I repress. But let's say I can't get angry. I bury anger. And then I have this avoidant conditioning. I have to get away from you. So, I mean, I might be telling you to fuck off, but you're not going to hear it. I'm already going to be down the road. Yeah, I would be saying it quietly. Or I'm not even going to know that I'm saying it to myself. Because I might bury it completely. So I'm just walking away saying, oh, I think I just want to go to Starbucks and have a coffee. But unconsciously, I'm like, fuck off to you. While I sip my coffee and think of other things that are not anger. That's what fucking off is like for an anger repressor who has avoidant conditioning. But then if I repress hurt and sadness, I'm not saying that repression always lines up this way with these attachment styles, these particular repressions. But, I mean, if I can't open to hurt and sadness, first of all, I don't want you to leave. I might not, because I might feel that emotion or those emotions, and I don't want to. So before you leave, I might really want you to stay. But at the same time, I might be angry at you because I can't show the hurt. So I might tell you to fuck off and leave. But really, I don't want you to. See how we're just sabotaging ourselves on both sides? Because the avoidant who has to run all the time needs to be able to say, fuck off. I don't want to run all the time. I don't want to disconnect all the time, but I have to because I'm angry or whatever I've buried. And I can't tell you to fuck off, so I have to disconnect. But if I could tell you to fuck off, whoever you are and I'm in relationship with, then maybe we could have a connection. We could even be intimate, perhaps, if we're romantic partners or any other thing, any other relationship that's close. If I can tell you to fuck off, then I can set boundaries and I feel safe to stay here. And that's why a fuck off can be so helpful and loving for somebody who repressed anger. Because anger repressors tend not to become demons when they come out of repression. They just become people who can say, fuck off. If they need to defend themselves, or fuck off to defend themselves, or just to open a conversation like, I'm angry at you. That's why I'm always leaving. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be angry at you. We're going to work through this damn pain. I'm going to love you because I know the only way to love you is through the pain. Now fuck off. I've watched my partner with hurt and sadness repressor just push me right out the door with his fuck offs, only to call me right back and say, I'm sorry. I didn't really want you to fuck off. But you guys have heard about us, so let me tell you like a few other little stories. Have you ever, as an anger repressor, have you ever had a friend who keeps coming over, but you do you really don't want them to? Or if they come over, you just wish they wouldn't talk so much, but they always do. Why is it they always talk a lot? You know what I mean? You would think that, well, maybe at one time if I invite them over, they won't talk continuously for 2 hours. But every single time, and with an anger repressor, that's harboring anger at an unconscious level. Every time we say yes to someone like that, I had to unravel that pattern to be free, because that looked very peaceful and enlightened on the surface. You know, I mean, just imagine me sitting there quietly, and then on the outside, it's like, oh, that's just being with what is. Look at Scott. He's very quiet. He's so, and but the unconscious, I'm like, this fucking asshole. My goddamn, yeah, fucking get the fuck away from me. Get the fuck, I'm going to get the fuck away from you. If you don't fucking show, I'm going to fucking, God damn, I'm fucking angry. But on the surface, it's like, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that happened to me once. I didn't have any business coming to non-duality. First, I needed to get to the anger so I could just say to people, not fuck off, but just like, hey, I know we've done this for like 10 years. I've invited you over and you talk and I don't, and I barely get a word in, but I have 10 years of rage in my stomach that's going to eat you alive if I don't say, hey, can we just go do something else? Or I want to talk now, please. You wouldn't say it that way, by the way. If you could tell somebody to fuck off after anger repression work, you probably wouldn't do that. Either you would actually, your anger would tear them alive. Just kidding. Although it could happen. Do your work. Or it'd be more like clunky. You know, like, well, I just wanted to say that, you know how you tell me a lot of stories. Well, I love your stories, but fuck off. No, he would be like, I love your stories, but I've tell you, I've been doing work and I hold a lot of resentment when I sit and listen to people. It's because of my anger repression, and I need to be able to talk to, and I need to be able to express this so that you and I can have a good friendship. Well, or just fuck off. It might not come out that clean, you know, the second way there. But however it comes out, that's you. And if anybody doesn't like it, they can fuck off. But after years, if you're like me, if years of taking stuff, being a doormat, don't worry about getting angry every now and then or telling somebody to fuck off as you do this work. It'll all balance out. I got angry at people. I got angry at a student once. It's just what happens. Clunkily, we're going to get angry. To me, anger is nothing at this point. But it was a big deal. You know, and it'll be a big deal for you, but then you'll see it's a very helpful emotion, because then you have insight you could never have without doing anger repression work. Same with sadness and hurt repression, though. Don't like to leave you guys out. Same thing. Insights that you could not have and freedom that you couldn't have if you couldn't feel and express these emotions at some point. Now, I got to talk about how sadness and hurt repressors are so sometimes. You can't generalize about people. Okay, these are just pointers. But you will see that some people on Earth are more comfortable with anger, shall we say. I wrote a song this morning about mean people, which reminds me. I can't sing it for you because I can't remember the words. But it was something like, I like the birds and the trees and the flowers and the bees and the love and the bliss, but I don't fucking like mean people. Something like that. But it better time signature. I think that was like 5-4 or something. No, the reason I was doing the song was because it was a way of expressing how anger repressors like the birds and the bees and the light. We like the peace and the being the good listener and just being open. But we don't like mean people because we bury anger and we can't be mean or anything like it. And I am not suggesting that we do. We have inquiries for that. They're called the asshole inquiries. In case you think you're worried about becoming, or in case you're worried about becoming an asshole because you're an anger repressor, well, let me just tell you this. You're already an asshole, but you buried it. And that's okay. What's appearing at the surface isn't what we really are. Remember, no matter how loving and peaceful you are, we give it up here for freedom. And that's how we get free. So I just do these little podcasts to loosen, you know what I mean? Like, this is like, reminds me of when I was a swimmer, before you jump in the water and everybody's like shaking their arms and like joking around and like, oh shit, we're about ready to go do some repression inquiry. So Scott's giving us a little lightheartedness before we jump in the water. Now go fuck off. Go jump in that water. I told you guys a story that I got to add this in here. Because I've been saying lately, the main duality, if you see it, is, speaking of water, below the water is the iceberg of repression buried in the body. Above the water is the tip of the iceberg. There's our identity, our false identity, our belief systems, our spiritual practices, anything and everything at the tip of the surface, which can keep us safe from what's buried under the water. There's our duality. Repression. So I have to tell that story about how I couldn't tell people to fuck off because I had it buried. So I would jump in the water in swimming. And in case you missed the story, I think it's interesting. I had the kind of ego that would stay away from judging and complaining because it got too close to anger. Now I know. So didn't mean I wasn't suffering though. So if you see somebody who doesn't, see, I wasn't the kind of person in high school that had these loud suffering stories. I was like really deeply insecure is how I would describe it. Very quiet musician, deeply insecure. But I didn't have a sense of what my stories were even. I have to say, I mean, I believe certain things about myself, but I didn't know the core identities here or anything like that. So when I was in school, I want you to understand, I would smile during the day, right? Just a smile plastered on my face. And again, I told you, my art teacher said to my dad, Scott is always smiling. Always. And I was always smiling in high school. Not always, but a lot. People tell me that. And that's why you don't see me smiling a lot, because it was a trauma response. I was frightened into smiling all the time. But that's the surface. So the surface is like this trauma response, like be peaceful, be good, smile. At the unconscious, I'm raging. And then that creates a lot of suffering at the surface too. But with this kind of anger repression, which creates this peacemaker ego, you do everything you can at the surface to make sure you don't know that there's just this tremendous volcano right under the surface. You know, therefore the addictions, very common for anger repressors to be addicted. That was part of my suffering. And then deficiency story, but I didn't really hear it. I just felt it, like I'm unlovable. But when I would jump in the water, what would go through my mind for 2 hours of practice would be things like usual high school stuff. But it wouldn't be complaining or blaming anybody. If anything, there would be some self-deprecation or like, oh, I can't get that right. Of course, that kind of stuff a little bit. But even that, frankly, for this ego came too close. See, this is a particular kind of ego structure. It's an avoidant personality, actually, with buried emotions, buried anger. I jump in the pool and I don't hear the upset. I don't hear it. Swimming became a way for me to like almost meditate. And I would hear thoughts like, oh, I wonder if my girlfriend knows that I don't like boobs. I wonder if she can tell. Or as I said, like, oh, the guy next to me is really hot. Those kind of thoughts, or I want to get high. Things like that. Swimming was like a meditation. But under the surface, I've done inquiry, and I know now I was sitting there raging, saying, fuck off, fuck you, I hate you, Dad, I hate you, Dad, and you fucking swim coach, I fucking hate you too, fuck off. So I always knew how to tell people to fuck off. I just couldn't do it. I knew it. And it was going on in my unconscious constantly. I'm here to report, but I never said it to anyone ever. And then I have to tell the story again. Sorry that I retell these stories, but then I got the most valuable swimmer, but also the best mental attitude senior year, because I never complained or blamed. And I'm telling you, if you see any kid who's doing well, who's behaving, being a good kid, being quiet, being peaceful, watch out for the rage underneath and the suffering that's coming later. And watch how that kid can't tell other kids and other people to fuck off. And watch how that kid feels like they can't question adults and tell adults to fuck off, even in a nice way. Some kids can't. That's going to be suffering. There's a duality. Most powerful duality. That kid is in a, that's what I was, locked in that. Can't be myself. So I have to be something false on the surface, smiles and all, trophies and all. Now I can tell somebody to fuck off. I have to tell you, it's the most liberating thing if you're an anger repressor, because some people should be told to fuck off. They really should. Don't listen to spiritual people who tell you that you're supposed to love everybody. That's how you get sick right there. That's how you don't get free from suffering, is by not being authentic. And people telling you something that spiritual people or awake people act this way or that way, no, don't believe that. You are what you are. And you come to spirituality to discover that, not to listen to people tell you how to be. And when you discover what you are, there's so many facets to us. I finally get teachers like Almas, even though we have such a different style. He's one of the only teachers, there's a few, that I really, really like, because he talks about the qualities of presence, including, I'm sure, love, vulnerability, but also power and strength and the wisdom and authenticity that comes with all these qualities. This is what non-duality is about. It's the embodied way. Because the main duality is driving us, the iceberg. And I just want to kind of leave you with this, because I think I've said it already, but it's good to leave on this and maybe one or two other things small. I didn't understand that when I was a little kid and I was being bullied and growing up gay, you know, you don't have a right to defend yourself when you're a little gay kid growing up in the 80s or 70s. It's not even on the table. It's not a possibility that the kids that are bullying me for sucking dick, that I'm going to just attack them all or even defend myself. In a situation like that, anybody who's been bullied knows otherwise, that you do what you have to do to survive. So I could not have learned to defend myself there. In fact, I learned the opposite. Bury the anger, survive that somehow. With that kind of trauma, I'm speaking to anger repressors here, we have got to be careful, because we don't really see what we're doing. And I'm here to help everybody see it who wants to see it, which is anger, sadness, hurt, fear. These are very natural emotions and we need them for our natural recovery. They create our suffering by holding back some of them that feel true. We're forced to identify with others that actually are false for us. In college, by holding anger back, I would identify with hurt and sadness, and it would stay there. I didn't understand why I was identified with certain things. That's because I was holding certain things back, the anger. So we anger repressors, what we never learn in life really is how to properly defend ourselves, because we don't have that emotion online. We actually need that emotion to be able to defend ourselves. Now, there's a troubling thing that goes on in spirituality, which is that teachers and others, they convince us even to process triggers instead of finding what's authentic for us in a trigger instead. I say process the trigger, but find the authenticity. Process the trigger at the level of repression that creates it, to find how you can feel and express what's true for you, then you end suffering instead of using inquiry or other things to just process the surface of a trigger. In other words, anger repressors across the world have fallen into a trap of coming into spirituality and processing triggers, never learning or developing the capacity to defend themselves. They just keep processing triggers away. But the reason that unlovable or not good enough trigger comes up is because that's safer than feeling and expressing the anger that's buried. And the buried anger drives us into these practices that keep us safe from the buried anger. I got really sick that way. So we need this emotion online. Just like we need sadness, we need anger to protect ourselves, defend ourselves, protect others. It's a natural emotion. We don't have to identify with it, but how would we even know if we're identified with it if it's buried? And even if there's identification, how do we let go of that or see through that if it remains buried? So it does remain buried for many people who come to spirituality. They don't really learn to defend themselves. And there's so many people on the internet teaching other people. Instead of being authentic, they're teaching you how to respond. Teaching you to set boundaries even though you have repression. And you have to override that conditioning to set that boundary. That's effortful, painful, and sometimes impossible. Or telling you that this is the proper response for a secure attachment. Great. That's not what people have usually. They have some other attachment style and they have to respond from a trauma response. So telling them that they should respond another way is just not helpful. But when you get to that which creates the responses, that which creates a shutdown or a freeze and a trigger for an anger repressor is the buried anger. When you get to that, a different response starts happening. Not just the capacity for anger, but the capacity for self-expression, for authenticity, for saying what's true, needs, wants, boundaries, full conscious human being. Fully conscious human being, embodied. Many of us miss that, see? And we wonder why and how we came to spirituality and we're still suffering. It's linked to the fact that we still can't defend ourselves. It's great that teachers throughout history said, just rest and let it all be. Is that so? Living in acceptance? We can't. We buried anger. We have to start there in terms of acceptance. And that buried anger doesn't come into awareness. Don't be afraid that you're just going to tell a bunch of people to fuck off. What's likely to happen is that you're going to start feeling anger after several weeks of this work, and you're going to start integrating it and seeing the insights that show you there are things that you're not expressing way before any fuck off comes up. And it's about those things that you're not expressing and feeling and expressing that create that energy of fuck off anyway. It's unexpressed emotion that creates the fuck off and the trigger. It's what I learned. I had to come out of anger repression to see that the anger that was stored in my body created the suffering. It created even the fuck off. And sometimes that's what happens. You say that. But see, when you're really authentic, you don't have to do that. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to tell people to fuck off, but you can. Because you just start saying other things before, like, hey, this is what's important. This is what I need. I meant to tell you this. No, I can't do that. Hey, can you stop talking? No, I don't want to go. I love you, but I draw the line there. All these things that you can say that are all you, that you don't even know, because you buried your anger or other emotions, so you don't know what you need or want. And then spirituality may have taught you just to process the trigger at the top and never get below to see who you really are and what you really want. There's your freedom, because you're already chained and shackled to what you need and want. It's just unconscious. When you discover that and start to express it, don't worry. You're going to be saying less fuck-offs than you've ever said in your whole life, because you're going to be just more you there. The real you there. And the real you there is love. And love includes a fuck-off from time to time. But it's really you. It's love. And when your expression comes online, you'll see that the fear that we have for doing anger repression work, well, that's just anger repression doing its job to try to keep us safe. If you're interested in stepping forward and just coming to talk to me, I'm having these great conversations with people in Zoom. They're 20 minutes long. They're free. I'm not training or mentoring you, but we talk about your situation. You guys have listened to me. I keep meeting you guys. I'm going to cry because I can. But because I've been touched by you guys recently coming to talk to me. Truly. Because for the first time, I'm open, really open as a teacher. So I get to hear your stories and your pain from a completely different and deeper place. And even if we don't end up working together from that call, which is the reason for the work, to see if, or the call, to see if there's a fit here for you somewhere. I'm touched by every conversation, frankly. And this is not a sales pitch here. I really am touched. When you've lived a life of avoidance like me, and you can finally feel and express everything, it is like Pinocchio becoming a real boy. And that's what I want to mentor and coach people into, finding their real boy or girlness. So the 90-day program is what I'm offering, and come and talk to me about it. I'm also doing the regular mentorship program that I used to do, but there are some conditions to that. So just come and talk to me. The link is in the description of this podcast. Thank you.